33 on January 22nd, and I'd like to call this meeting to order.
And Madeline, would you mind doing a roll call for us, please?
Yep, you betcha. You just need to raise your hand if you're here. We're going to go through it quickly. So Jael Curry, Sabrina Madison, Jean Morton, Barbara Wolf, Precious Gostin, Michelle Dunphy, and Consuela Lopez. We know Shiva is not here.
Right. Thank you so much, Madeline. So I just have a script to read, and then I will turn it over to you, Michelle. So welcome to our virtual meeting. We are going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able to, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video while you're speaking. Now, my apologies. The chair and the committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Please use the raised hand feature when you would like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be muted briefly. Staff, please click the raise hand when you are asked a question, and the chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. I don't think we have any members of the public who are registered to speak. And so, Madam Chair, I will turn it now over to you because the meeting has already been set to record. And so the next item on the agenda is the approval of the September 25th, 2024 minutes.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the September mi minutes?
So moved.
Thank you, Alder Curry. And a second. Anybody?
I can second it.
Thank you, Barbara. All right. If there's any, I'm so sorry. I am so sick, you guys. If there's anybody else who needs to make any comments or any discussion, otherwise, can we approve the minutes as they are?
All those in favor,
All those in favor?
please say aye.
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 All opposed? Seeing none, motion carries. Now
Thank you,
moving to,
Wanda.
no, you're good. Now moving on to public comment. Madeline, can you confirm we do not have any public comment this evening?
I can confirm that.
All right, thank you. And now moving to disclosures and recusals. So Michelle, you would just ask if there are any disclosures or recusals to report.
And are there any disclosures or recusals to report, anybody? Seeing none, can
Right.
move on.
And we will now move to new business. The first item on the agenda is an overview of the BCC streamlining project. I'm actually going to turn this over to our mayoral staff and Common Council staff who will provide an overview of the project. So Christy and Karen.
Thank you. And my video did not work the first time I tried, but it did now. So let's hope that that holds. My name's Christy Baumel. I'm with the mayor's office, and I'm here with Karen Kapusta-Pofal from the Common Council office. And we're here to talk about some work that we're doing to change the structure and size of the entire city board's committee and commission system. So that's BCC is Board, Committee, and Commission. And we have a proposal that would impact this committee, which would be essentially taking three existing committees within the Community Development Division, the community development staffs, and combining them to form one committee that looked at all of the issues. And so we want to talk through a little bit of how we got to this place and talk about what I just said in a little bit more detail, and then hear from you all what input or suggestions you have related to that, and we have some questions there as well. So with that, I can share some slides. Let me just get this up. Are you all able to see that PowerPoint? Yeah, okay. And then I will hand it to Karen, and I will hand it to Karen. Sorry, I'm having some issues with my logistics, but go ahead, Karen, and I'll move slides forward for you.
Hello, everyone. Karen Kapusta-Pofal, Common Council Chief of Staff. And I'll provide you with a brief overview of the background and history of this BCC streamlining project, and then hand it back over to Deputy Mayor Baumel to discuss the specifics relating to this committee. Next slide. So this project.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? Can we put this in present mode, please? Because we're getting the slides
sure.
Partially cut off.
Yes. Yeah, sorry about that. Slideshow. Apologies for that. Good.
Okay. Great. So the goals of the BCC streamlining project are to reduce the overall size of the city's boards, commissions, and committees, boards, commissions, and committees, in order to help achieve the following goals. The size and function of Madison's BCC system should enable adequate staffing per committee so that all committees can be high functioning, should enable a clear and efficient path for residents to engage in the legislative process, and it should enable efficiency in city processes and decision making. And above all of that, or in addition to all of that, intertwined with all of that, it's important to reinforce our values that BCCs are not a substitute for equitable community engagement across the community, and that this is, BCCs are simply one piece of that process. And I'll talk more. All right. So this issue has been delved into for quite a long time, quite intensively. There was a very large task force called the Task Force on Government Structure, which you may have heard of referred to as TFOGS. TFOGS met between 2017 and 2019 and produced a very in-depth report with analyses and recommendations in a very large number of areas, or you know, several main areas of this question of how to improve government structure. And one of the areas is the issue of the board's commissions and committees, the BCC system here that we have. They recommended having fewer. And when we talk a little bit about the numbers, you'll get a sense of, as to why. And also recommended that the city consider making the structure more streamlined and accessible for residents to participate in. After TFOGS was done, the council created the TFOGS implementation work group, and that group was a group of alders that went back to the recommendations and thought of ways to, what are the next steps in some of these recommendations? And then one of the topics, of course, that they looked at was the BCC structure. And so they delved into more analysis of individual BCCs. I have to say that TFOGS also did quite a bit of analysis. And again, recommended fewer. When their work was done, they passed the torch on to the Common Council Executive Committee, that's CCEC. And Deputy Mayor Baumel and I have been working with CCEC since 2023 to continue conducting analyses, talking with agencies, looking at legislative, looking at the ordinances, looking at overlaps. I'll give a little more detail in a minute, and have some specific changes that we presented to them, and they gave us instructions. So we're in that period now. Next slide. So the original TFOGS group, among their many recommendations, and that report is publicly available, found that our BCC system lacks geographic and racial diversity in terms of membership, that the number of committees does result in a drain on resident staff and alder time, and it lacks consistent accountability, and it varies in levels of authority and influence, and needs an overhaul in terms of making sure that committees are working within their defined purpose by MGO, for example, by ordinance, and requires logistical processes that that don't facilitate accessible resident participation, and is often inadequately staffed or has inadequate resources to complete its work. Next slide. So when we're talking, why would we want to, why reduce? Why even start there or have this as part of the equation? The original TFOGS group did an analysis and took a tally of the numbers of committees in a number of different categories, both in Wisconsin and outside of Wisconsin, and found that at the time they had counted up 102 for us. Our current count is about 74. Either way, we've got an average in other peer cities of 25 to 35 committees. This is relevant on a number of levels. So as you see, Madison has more than double the average number. Next slide. In addition to the large number of just the sheer number of committees, one thing that came up a lot, perhaps you may have heard during the 2024 discussions on the budget, that the city of Madison is the fastest growing community in the entire state, 50,000 new residents since 2014, and we're down 11%. So we're operating with 11% fewer staff per resident than we did just a decade ago. And so that's just one, again, another piece of why the large number of official committees is coming under examination. Next slide. We're looking at efficiency and operations. We want to be able to staff every committee appropriately and effectively. We want to be able to have the right number so that alders who are part-time, you know, they're part-time legislative body, have a lot of things going on, a lot of different activities, and a lot of committee assignments. And so looking at making things a little more effective and efficient for alders to be able to dive deeper into the subject matter of fewer committees and enabling more engagement. One issue, so there's a couple of different things here. One is, as we mentioned, community engagement happens in the community. It doesn't just happen at the committee level. So allowing and encouraging, in fact, alders to go out into the community to do more engagement at that level, as well as city departments. And residents at this point have to follow something through what could be potentially 3-4 committees and show up at each one and, you know, give their testimony in each committee. And that can be quite time consuming and quite confusing actually as well for residents as they navigate through the system. So, and okay, there's going to be more. Sorry, I always jump ahead in these. Next slide. So when we were doing our analysis, we did a number of things. So the original TFOGS group did a lot of analysis, including surveys, focus groups, comparisons to other cities, quite a lot of work. We, because that had happened, you know, 2017 to 2019, we then augmented that with additional survey, additional discussions with agencies and alders about their reflections on the committees that they staff or are members of. We did look at performance data on individual BCCs. We looked at the total number of members and vacancies and number of meeting held versus number of cancellations for things like lack of quorum, lack of agenda items, looking at which committees received items, referrals from council, and the kind of work that they did. We looked at the ordinances, looked at the purpose, we looked at the member categories, we looked at overlap and possible, you know, synergy between committees. And we use the seven elements of a great city as well for sorting. This is something that you'll find in the comprehensive plan and in the city budgets. And just to give us also a bit of a sense thematically of categories, you know, thematic categories of BCCs that we can look into a little bit more. We also looked at something that's not on here. We also looked at a number of committees by department as well. And I think Deputy Mayor Baumel may talk a little bit more about that in the later in the presentation. Next slide. So one of the things we did was we invited all alders to provide input on their current and past committees, we met with alders to discuss. Some folks provided written feedback. Some folks provided feedback in a meetings. Alders have been proposing, some of which Deputy Mayor Baumel will discuss in future slides, but there have been some proposals by alders to try to tackle this. And there have been plenty of discussions within CCEC about how to approach the issue. And we talked with agencies, especially the agencies that staff the committees and whose work intersects with the committees. This is a great example of a committee where that's very much the case. And looking at the priority needs in relation to the current structure and what's possible or what could be possible with a different structure. Next slide. So some of the themes that we found. There's support for annual work programs in committees or work plans, basically, you know, more of kind of a planning approach so that there's at least an overarching structure for the work of the committee, whether that's annual or quarterly. A lot more, this is an important one, and this is another one that's a great example of why one of the pain points for the city with the number of committees is that we really need to be bolstering and improving training for committee staff, committee chairs and vice chairs or co-chairs, and onboarding for committee members so that folks who step into this space have what they need to be able to, be effective from day one. And this actually requires quite a bit of staff capacity. There's some interest, there are some alders here. There's some interest in a lower number of committees per alder. Maybe they can speak to their experience because alders are in a unique position of being assigned to multiple committees. And so they are able to get a bit of a broader view of the system, perhaps, than maybe one person who's in one committee can. And there has, as I had said earlier, there's some interest in looking at or providing a structure so that folks, alders, can be more engaged in a smaller number of committees. And there was a suggestion to review membership composition, think about how we're doing special expertise, who are we, you know, what categories of folks are we bringing to the table, and being really intentional about that. Next slide. And so what you'll find in the memo that is attached, I believe, to the agenda that was sent out late December, there are some cases in this current iteration of the project, there are some cases where there are BCCs that we're recommending no change currently or suggesting. There are some BCCs where the need has changed since their establishment, so the maybe what they're working on now versus what they have in their MGO is varied, or the projects that they were established to take on have changed. And so that has changed. You know, that's a candidate for looking at how they are and potentially consolidating or eliminating. And overlapping scope was a big thing that we were looking at, the question of agendas and how did this fit, so we could think about combining. And so the work of the committees, of course, is very, very important, right? And you all dedicate your time. You come and volunteer and dedicate your time to the city. And so it's more of a shift in where or how to do the work in order to improve operations on a number of levels. So we have some thoughts on that. Is there one more for me? I can't remember. Sorry. Krista?
No, I think I can take it from here.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
I was just going to note, in parallel to all of this work, we've been making some changes along the way. So while looking at the entirety of the process, there has been kind of ongoing work to make some changes. You see some of the changes that were made on this slide. We're proposing a group of changes now, and then we're also proposing another set that we continue working on later through the year. So all in all, this is kind of a large as part of a larger process. But you can see over the last several years, a number of committees here on whether talking about parks or transportation or environment and housing, there were a lot of committee changes made. And then with this group, this is more detail on what Karen just shared about some were proposing to combine, some proposing to eliminate, and other changes proposed. I won't walk through them all, but we're really focused on this first bullet on the left, proposing to create a new committee that is out of the Community Services Committee, the Committee on Aging, and the Early Childhood Care and Education Committee. And the reason for this, as Karen mentioned, we looked at this in a number of ways, and this came out it essentially from conversations with alders, conversations with staff, and reviewing mission statements of recognizing that there's some parallels and similarities in the work, and also looking at the agendas and looking as whether there was capacity to find some combinations here. So what really was one of the things we thought might be useful out of this is that we do know that while looking at perhaps different populations, a lot of similar processes, similar scopes, similar duties, approving funding applications, looking at related legislation that comes and the like. And we actually thought that reducing some of the segmentation of different sectors of the population actually also has a function of reducing siloing between them, that there's a lot of topics, for example, that Community Service Committee looks at that certainly has an impact on older adults or on early childhood, and that it makes perfect sense for those all to be considered at once. So this would essentially be a consideration of the three of them together, so that the work of the Community Services Committee, the Committee on Aging, and Early Childhood Care and Education would come together in one place. So today we are hoping to, of course, answer questions and talk as much as you'd like, but we also wanted to talk to you and get a sense from you all of how you think this might work. What do you think would be most important to lift up and make sure is highlighted, prioritized, preserved? It could be in terms of topics, it could be in terms of particular projects or duties or responsibilities. It could be in terms of membership expertises. I've written a number of questions here that essentially are trying to get to that point of if these committees were to be combined, what are the things about that you think might be most useful? What are the opportunities that might come from that? What are the things to make sure that we get right in that? Timeline-wise, we are, as Karen said, the Common Council Executive Committee has asked us to meet with all relevant committees and get this input and come back to them, report back. The what we anticipate at this point is that we would put together an ordinance and introduce it in February. So we are trying to meet with everybody in January to help kind of formulate this in a little more, formulate this in a detailed way. And I'm happy to take feedback right away, but I know you may also have some questions. So happy to take input or questions from anybody who would like to share.
I see Jean's hand open up. Jean Morton, would you like to unmute? Oh, hang on, you're still muted, dear.
So, how's that? Great. Okay. Thank you for the presentation and better clarification as to what the thinking was behind this suggestion. One of the things that has been brought to my attention from a few individuals who have had a chance also to look at this from it, the seniors, one of the things I think is a big worry is this going to dilute resources for the senior centers? Is it going to dilute resources for the aging population by combining us all under one umbrella into one committee?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that has come up. And the answer is, well, certainly that's not the intention. So any resource, so let's whether it be staffing or funding resources, all of those would be unaffected. Those are all there. In terms of committee work, I actually, you know, one of the intentions here is to actually make stronger, better supported committees. We, you know, Karen had a few slides that alluded to staff feeling stretched thin and that creating an impact. And although it varies committee to committee, and I can't speak for this particular committee, I've had a number of staff either say or confirm that it essentially there's a good rule of thumb that any single committee meeting is about 10 hours of staff time that is related to planning the agenda items, putting together the agenda, linking all the Legistar items, confirming you have quorum, setting up the meeting, setting up the links, making sure the minutes are typed up and reviewed afterwards and getting them posted by the deadlines and just the administrative piece of it. So we would be essentially taking staff time that is currently going towards some of the administrative pieces and putting that more to the productive work time of a single committee. So I think there's a way to do this where, and I know a number of these committees kind of meet every other month, or, you know, they have like points in time where they have work to do. And I think there's ways that you could look at work programming and priority setting and recognize points in time where you want to make sure you uplift and prioritize certain bodies of work or certain time sensitivities, to make sure that we're restructuring how we do the work, but we're not diminishing the work. In talking to staff too, I think there's a lot of ways where I think it creates some efficiencies, but also it takes what might not be a topic of discussion in the Committee on Aging, but is a discussion on community services, and make sure there's people focused on older populations and aging populations that are hearing and more a part of that and more fully integrated into that as well. So, and likewise with early childhood. So it is not intended to diminish the work at all. I think this is a way that we can make sure we have a stronger and more, even more high functioning committee, just because of the staff support that can be centralized to one place instead of three.
Thank you. I see next up, hands up. I've got Consuelo, and then I've got Alder Madison.
Thank you, Michelle. First, I'd like to begin by saying how much we appreciate the work of Jolanda Shelton Morris. She has been an extraordinary leader in terms of generating information and moving processes ahead. So thank you, Jolanda, for that. I did have some comments to make on the committee's major responsibilities. And I know you've been focusing on staff, and you do have an awful lot of committees out there. And it's my opinion that we had a person who was assigned to the seniors, and I don't think they met very often. And there wasn't very much for us to learn about that operation. So throwing them in with us is not an issue for me. It sounds like a good idea, actually. But one thing that we have to be really vigilant about is to retain a strong public voice on funding and hearing proposals. Up to now, we've heard about the burdens of the staff, but the responsibilities to the public at large are huge for us to review proposals, to make recommendations, and any members who might be reporting on specific areas. So I just want to tell you that that is extremely important to all the members on this committee over the years that I've been on it. And I would hope that that would be the focal point of all considerations involving changes in the organization and processes that you're putting forward. I wondered who was on the TFOGS membership committee. Could you share a little bit about that?
If I stop sharing my screen, I can look it up, unless Karen, you have it
I'm
handy.
Going to try as well here. Let
it
me
did a lot of work, and we'd like to
it
know
did.
Who they are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's quite a large list. I will I'll pull it up and I will send a link to staff so that you can then send that out to the committee as well, because it's a bit of a number of people. Sorry, I'm going to get distracted.
Yeah, I can think of a handful of members, but I know it was a large group that worked for about 2 years. The ones I can think of are Justice Castaneda, Keith Furman, who later joined the Common Council, and somebody who has face I can picture and name I can't think of, unfortunately.
But Christy, are you saying that these are basically council members themselves who form this?
No, and in fact,
council and city staff is.
No, so I mentioned former Alder Keith Furman. He was on it before he was an Alder. He served on this committee before he ran for Alder. And oh. Justice Castaneda has not an Alder.
Okay,
and we can pull that list up and get that to you.
Yeah, I'm really curious. And what do you mean by member expertise and specific decision, that bullet over there? Could you give us a little bit more information about that?
And so what I was actually hoping to hear from you is if we're forming a committee that recognize we have three committees, and their seats can be, sometimes seats say alder, sometimes seats say general resident member, and sometimes seats say something more specific than that. In some cases, they're really specific, like must have one, must have a member who's who has experience in a particular social service or a particular expertise. So for example, early childhood care and education has members that have expertise. And named in the it, they're not name I believe named in the ordinance. And so I guess the question was, if we were pulling together three committees and we were looking for members that were from the body of work that Community Service Committee does, are there particular member expertises that should be called out that are important to have embedded in the work?
And who would determine that?
I'm asking. I think you have general resident seats right now, but I guess it was a question that I was asking in terms of whether you think that it's something that's important to carry forward. Like you could say, I really feel like we need a person with It could be related to expertise in community services, or it could be we really need somebody with expertise in reaching out to the community, or in crunching data, or understanding the issue in a particular number of ways, or somebody who know who's a policymaker. So there's a lot of ways you could think of that. But it was just kind of a general question of all of the things you think are important to get right as we move forward. There's the body of work, and then there's whether you think there's anything you would call out in terms of member skill sets that you think would be important too.
I think that skill sets are very varied. Been a professor my whole life and working on issues of diversity and housing and the jail system, et cetera. That would not, for instance, I'm just giving myself as an example, that would probably, you would not know that unless you did a thorough, asked for an o person to give an overview of what their experiences might be. But if it's coming from a group that is saying, well, we know this person from this agency or this organization, and they were going to tap them, okay. But I would think that people on this committee right now would like to know how the members' expertise was determined. I'm just telling you that.
Thank you, Consuelo. Alder Madison.
Thank you, Chair. I'm also homesick, so my apologies forever if
Well,
I
you poor thing.
come across. Just a few things I wanted to note. First and foremost, shout out to Common Council office staff and to you, Deputy Mayor Obama, for the work that y'all have done on this. And I'm sending all thank yous. I say thank you for real, but I'm also looking for my notes as you all were talking. I was taking some notes. So one, the way that the BCCs are structured now, it is a for some of us who are on multiple committees and are heavily invested in doing our committee work and being involved, it is a huge haul. I think some of us are on four plus committees, and some of us are on those four plus committees, got full-time jobs and are out and spend a lot of time in the community. And so I think it would make a lot more sense to pull it down so other alders who may not have the time right now to give as much of their committees would have some time to give to, more to one to three committees versus four to six, for example. So I do like the idea of cutting them down so we can be a bit more focused versus spread out. And then I like the idea of the three committees proposed for this group because it would allow for multi-generational discussion. Right now, most of the committees are on, I don't even think they're young people who technically are Gen Z, for example. And then in other cities, I don't know how much Madison is doing it, but in other cities, for example, you will see senior related groups and youth or I don't know, like childcare related groups partnering on projects, whether it be long-term housing, long-term childcare coupled with senior living. And I just think having some of those groups spending more time together may create some natural synergy for partnership, especially when you have dwindling dollars to do work with, that may just inspire some collaboration. And then on the top of all of our agendas across the city, it starts with, who benefits, who is burdened, who does not have a voice at the table, how can policymakers mitigate unintended consequences? And when you look at the makeup of our committees, boards, commissions, they're overly represented by folks who likely identify as white. There's a very small number of people of color. There are a very small number of Black and Brown folks, especially. And I think in this way, we may be able to sort of increase the participation by folks of color because it's likely that more will be covered. I don't know, more will be covered across the life cycle, for example, in a smaller, more diverse in race, in age, in background, on a committee that covers more, but meets less. Like instead of, three times the meetings, you have one times the meetings and covering, three different areas. So again, for me, I like the three that are proposed because it's multi-generational, you're covering the life cycle, and I think it gives us an opportunity to increase diversity and actually sort of live up to some of our equitable ideals because the way that we're meeting now, it's not necessarily equitable. So might give us some fresh ideas, fresh perspectives. So that's my two cents.
Thank you, Alder Madison. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
I don't see any other raised hands right now. I would like to take the opportunity to speak as well. And I think I just have a little bit of a different perspective than some of the people on this committee in that I am just a community member. I do not have expertise. And I feel like I want to make sure that our city committees do not lose that outsider perspective as we move forward with combining and condensing. I think that efficiency is wonderful, and I think that making our committees more efficient and making our alders be able to do their work in a much more efficient way because they are overworked, it would be wonderful. But I do think that it's important to get these outside perspectives. I've been able to come in and say different things regarding our budgets and stuff like that that maybe people who are in the thick of it might not be able to see because they're in the thick of it. They have a different knowledge. And I think that having different backgrounds is really healthy for our committees, and I don't want to see that lost. And I also think that if we make it so expertise-based, we might also lose the accessibility to the rest of our citizenship in participating in government. And I think that is a wonderful thing that our city offers.
Okay, thank you.
Yolanda, is your hand up?
My apologies, Chair. I sent you an email, so maybe you didn't see it. But thank you. So I just wanted to clarify one thing that was asked early on about losing the voice or the mission around making sure that we're centering the needs of older adults. And I thought it would be beneficial to just share the structure of the Community Resources Unit, which is the unit that I oversee. We oversee five priority areas within that unit: school-age child and youth programming, so that's anything that's supporting our elementary, middle, and our high school youth; employment, so that's anything from youth employment ages 14 to 18, young adult employment 18 to 26, and adults 18 and up. We also support neighborhood center support. So we fund 15 neighborhood centers throughout the city of Madison, primarily to support not only their programming, but the operations of their facility. And so this funding is to support staffing. This funding goes to support food pantries or other types of services or resources that they offer in their community neighborhood space. We also provide funding around crisis intervention and prevention, which is probably our largest and most broadest area because we fund anything from services that support our individuals and families that are impacted by violence, to youth restorative justice, to case management, to service resource service facilitation. So it's pretty broad. And then our last area is older adult services, which includes the operation of the Madison Senior Center. What is really important to note, and I appreciate Alder Madison saying this, is that across all five of those areas, we are talking about multi-generational populations. So when we speak of school-aged child and youth, we're talking about the grandmas and the grandpas and the older adults who are supporting their elementary, middle, and or high school grandchildren or youth that are in their family. When we're speaking about employment, we're not just looking to provide resources that support adults ages 18 to 30, we're talking about older adults as well in that. And when we talk about neighborhood center support, we're talking about a neighborhood center that crosses all generations of folks that are coming into that space. And so, as a staff person who oversees the Community Resources Unit, taking the priority of older adult services and resources and melding that work into the Community Services Committee is the perfect alignment because it aligns with what we do across all of our funding processes, and it aligns across the work that we do within the unit as a whole. We're not only just thinking about one generation or one population of people, we're thinking multi-generation. We're thinking about the multi-generational as well. And to your point, Michelle, about the community representation, we are the Community Development Division. So that piece will never get lost. I don't think that, and I don't want to speak for you, Christy, but I think what we do want, though, is we want the best of both, if that makes sense. I think two things can exist at the same time. We can have that community representation, but we also need that subject matter expertise. I do not oversee the Early Care and Education Committee, but I can say that the people that are on that committee who understand early childhood brain development and understand the importance of the things that we have to have for our young babies and their families and in the childcare centers is very important. And so we don't want to lose that expertise. We don't want to use the older adult expertise either. We know that we have people that are serving our aging population and do that well and have that expertise about the things that we need to be aware of and concerned about as we talk about later in life and how do we support our aging population. So none of that is going to be lost. But I think what we need to do is we need to realign and reimagine what that looks like. And our membership or committee membership, I say, is a big piece of that because while we do have people that are very engaged in our funding processes and very engaged in our discussions around policy, we also have committee members who are not. And then they make decisions about funding that we are essentially allocating out. And so my hope is that as we move through this kind of streamlining project, that we also do focus on that membership and make sure that we have, again, the best of both worlds. And we have folks who are really committed to the mission and vision of our division, which is centered on serving marginalized and vulnerable populations. And so thank you, Michelle, for letting me speak. That's it.
Thank you, Wanda. Barbara, I see your hand is raised.
And I was going to ask you, Yolanda, about the early childhood, which is the committee that I serve on. And, again, I do appreciate the need to more efficiently use people's time. But I guess the early childhood committee does seem, and again, so I don't know how much relationship you have and how much overlap and stuff you guys feel there is. The committee itself was quite resistant to the losing the focus being early childhood because the needs are so many, and so the mental health needs of little kids and things like that now have just become so overwhelming. So I guess I don't know how that would work from the point of view of, and again, I would agree. I mean, I think we don't want to lose the focus on any entity that every level has its need, and particularly, the seniors do, and the early childhood does, kids do, job training, et cetera. So I guess that's the confusing part. And our committee was concerned about that it would potentially lose the emphasis that we're able to provide because all the people on that committee have some background working with either as consumers or as people who work in the field or have worked in the field or in related fields. And so I guess that's the question that we all have as to how that would all kind of go together and not just water down everything. So, but again, I do understand that there needs to be, some efficiencies. I also understand that multi-generational is great, and I would 100% support the fact that the committees maybe don't represent the whole of our community, and ways to make that better would be good. I'm not quite sure how you envision, you being the city and the council, envision making it more accessible for people to participate, and so I guess all those things would be questions as to how is that going to make it better, and how is it going to make sure that we really do look at the needs of these populations, which are all vulnerable and can easily be overlooked and taken advantage of. So those are some of the questions that we all had, and in going forward and looking that obviously whoever is going to be making the decisions should keep in mind.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to answer your question again because I don't oversee that committee, but I do hear what you're saying, and I do believe that I'm not really sure what that could potentially look like, but I think to Christy and Karen's point tonight is one of the reasons why they're here is to kind of hear from you all about, you know, what comes up when we kind of talk about what this could potentially look like and what are the things that we need to take into consideration. And that may mean, you know, circling back with folks who do work in that field and who are more knowledgeable about what type of representation makes the most sense to be on a combined committee like this. However, I will also say that maybe that is not the best route to go either, right? Is early care and education a committee that really needs to be its own or be a subset or something like that? I don't know, Chrissy, I'm sorry, don't yell at me. But I recognize that as well. But I guess I was probably speaking more for the community resources side of things because that is the unit that I oversee, and all of the other areas outside of older adult services are already kind of in that committee, that kind of oversight for that work. And so to me, it makes the most natural fit that the work of Committee on Aging or the work that could be of the Committee on Aging should kind of align with the rest of the work that we do across my unit. So I'm sorry, it probably doesn't really answer your question, but
And that, I mean, you answered it just fine. And I'm just saying that those were the concerns that the group, because we met on the 9th, and those are the concerns that we had. And so as I said, obviously you all have to think about that and work towards it. And those of us who just, are on the committees, we can provide you our questions and our thoughts, but the decision making needs, we'll take those things into account. So I appreciate your answer, and you did just fine. Thank you.
if I could just add on to that a little bit, I think one thing that struck me was, as Yolanda was listing, the areas of work, I think it's easier for her to list the connections with older adults because that's part of her purview as well. But I was thinking back to our early childhood education, and I was contemplating comments like, there was a desire for, the focus is early childhood care and education, but there were comments saying that a broader focus on early childhood and the multitude of issues is also important. And hearing talks about a number of the work areas that Yolanda mentioned, which I wish I'd written down verbatim, but whether it's neighborhood centers or, all kinds of issues, I thought those are cer there's certainly a connection there. And the other I thought of is, one of the big issues facing early child care is the workforce, and workforce being another issue that Yolanda mentioned. And it could be a way to kind of bring some of these challenges together more holistically. And I think that's the intent, is that we can really put together strong work programs, the right mixture of members, and give them the support to have kind of the broader, robust discussions and work products that kind of bring together the aspects of all of these, I think, intersectional issues.
Thank you so much. All right, so I see Alder Madison and then Alder Curry.
I'll be very brief. I just wanted to say sometimes I think unease comes because things are changing. And the previous speaker to the last speaker mentioned vulnerable populations. But I just want to say that vulnerable people often, mostly, always know what's good for them. Like, we know what's good for us, right? And so, but does your unease also come from, or should it? I think it should come also from is our committee structure best equipped to serve the vulnerable populations that the committees are concerned about? And I think most of us know, or we should know, that they are not. Like, the way that our structure works right now, people who most need to benefit from our work are not compri they're not, they don't even make up most of our committees. And do we have the best people on those committees to make good decisions or policy decisions or whatever on behalf of people who are vulnerable? But again, I think for me, I'm excited about the groups that are proposed, because I think it would increase the likeliness that folks who are doing really brilliant work in the community could join one of, could join this committee and bring, I don't know, bring a fresh perspective on these vulnerable groups, because more than likely they're either currently working with those vulnerable groups or they are part of the vulnerable group. So my hope is that if people are having some unease about changes, the unease should also come from, is what we're doing now making, the most sense? And how can we get to a place where our structure best serves the people that we are tasked with serving on these committees? So I didn't get a chance to write a ton of notes, but that's my overall thought.
Thank you, Alder Madison. Alder Curry.
Thank you, Chair, and you're doing a wonderful job, by the way. Just wanted to add a couple comments as an alder and kind of seeing pros and cons of scenario. So obviously, as Sabrina, Alder Madison mentioned, efficiency. It takes quite a bit of time to go back and watch recorded videos. I'm so happy that we have them. But one of the pros that I can think about is oftentimes our meetings are canceled for lack of agenda items. I think it could cross or spread out the information and education and awareness, as Alder Madison also said, multi-generationally. But also when you combined all of those efforts, all of the funding efforts that go towards them, for instance, obviously time. And being an alder, we are paid for our time here and community members aren't. And so I think a pro could be having a more realistic sense for community members as or seats that aren't elected officials or appointed by they're all appointed by the mayor, I'm sorry. It could give folks more of a realistic expectation of what they're signing up for. It could be a longer time commitment over a month period, but consistently meeting and then being in spaces with others to learn more. An agenda item that's next, and hopefully we'll be moving on soon too, is thinking about where our meetings are. So I enjoy virtual because it's extremely convenient and had like, for instance, this week I had committee meetings every night of the week except Friday. but for instance, if our focus is on community services and the vulnerable populations we serve, I think about access too. And looking at our counterparts at the county, I know that county board members sometimes meet in different spaces in the communities, a different county park, nonprofit. And so even thinking as a group, again, about the commitment to serving as a committee member, but also how to get more in line or go into the communities and hear from them the issues that we are talking about, deliberating on, and forwarding to the Common Council to take action on. So I understand the reluctance or, weighing all the options, but also as an alder, I think it's easy for me to also jump back into community member. And if I wasn't being paid, wanting to consolidate my time and know what I'm signing up for. And one more thing, just because Michelle popped up in my screen. One thing that I see too, as alders, we are immersed in training for Robert's Rules of Order or how to manage meetings. I also think about staff time and not to throw you on their bus at all, Michelle, but when folks are thrown into chairing responsibilities and it's not something that they do regularly, thinking about how staff time may be able to be dedicated to training community members to become chairs, maybe to become involved with more high intense boards, commissions, committees like the Plan Commission, Board of Parks, et cetera. So like an introduction to the city and thinking about how folks can also receive tools from the city in their service to the city. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alder Curry. Are there any other people or any other discussions we want to have? Just checking for hands. All right, seeing none. Thank you to our presenters for sharing this info and taking down notes about everything we had to share. We appreciate you very much being here today.
Thank you very much. Very much appreciate all that you shared.
Thank you as well. And I was typing away. So thank you very much for your thoughts. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you. And thank you everybody for being patient with me since I did not know I was doing this today. So I appreciate that as well. It looks like our next, I've got the agenda up now, Yolanda. Our next item of business is the approval of virtual or in-person meetings for 2025, as Alder Curry just alluded to. Do we want to have a discussion about whether we want to meet virtually or in person in 2025? Any opinions? Okay, I'll start. There we go, Barbara. Thank you. Oh, you're still muted, Barbara.
Sorry about that. I would go back to what the Alders were saying about, how do you make the meetings that whatever is going to happen, whatever committees exist, are accessible so that people can participate. And so, I don't have a problem with either way, but it, you know, and I don't have an answer for how you do that, but I do think that's an important issue to be looking at. And also, how do we get population, more diversity in our committees. So I don't know if where the meetings are and when they are and all those things will make a difference, but I think that is just a thought and a question.
Thank you so much, Alder Madison.
Oh, just I will just say on library board, when I was advocating to move some of our virtual meet or not even virtual meetings to in person in my district at Sandburg, it took a little bit of, wrangling and ensuring there are some rules around, how meetings have to be run and where they can be run and how they work. So I think it would be helpful if I'm not sure who is the appropriate person for this committee, but if someone in on staff could maybe research what would have to happen for us to move at minimum one or two of our meetings in the year to a in-person location. I would imagine that we need to have somewhere that would allow for both virtual streaming while the meeting hybrid, that's the word, hybrid meetings,
Yeah.
because we're already streaming our meetings. But again, when we moved our meeting to Sandburg, there was a lot of details we had to work out. So I would say, probably not in the next couple of months, but maybe summer through winter, we could have figured out where we could potentially have one or two in person.
Yeah, and we had
Come
discussed
back
that
to it.
last year, I believe, like talking about doing one or two in person so that it was more accessible for public. Thought I saw another hand up, but it went away. Consuelo?
We're speaking on a day that is, I think, below zero. And I'm very much aware of how weather plays out in Wisconsin. And for that very selfish reason, I think it's really good to go on Zoom.
Thank you for sharing. Does anybody else want to share their opinion? Alder Curry, thank you.
And I just alluded to it, but my preference with the current structure would be virtual. We don't meet as often or for as long of a period, and I'm just thinking again about not just staff time here in the space, but also thinking about IT and what it takes to have a hybrid meeting and make sure that those videos are streaming. I would say if the structure changes in lieu of conversations we were just having, then I would be more open to going in person. But as is, my vote would be virtual. Thanks.
Thank you. Consuelo, did you raise your hand again? Okay, it just popped back up again. Does anybody want to make a motion then?
Motion to approve.
To go virtual?
So yes, I'm tired to go virtual.
Hi, girl, same.
Second.
Second by Consuelo. All right. And then all in favor, say aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm trying to bounce back through. I lost my agenda. Hang on, I'm sorry. Yolanda, do you have your agenda back up again? My computer is being a jerk.
I do. It's okay. It's actually me. So
Oh,
this
good.
next
Well,
item
thank
on
you.
the The next item on the agenda is around authorizing resolution before you in terms of the assumption of a loan that was made in 2005 by the City of Madison to the Omega School to help them finance the acquisition of their property on West Badger Road, which is now being shifted to the Literacy Network. So for those of you who may not know, Omega School is now within the Literacy Network, who has agreed to acquire Omega School, including the property, and also that would involve approving the transfer of the Literacy Network of an existing purchase of service contract between the city and Omega School. And so the action tonight is for you all to approve that or adopt that resolution that'll be going to for final action for Common Council.
Okay. Motion to adopt.
Ooh. Do we have a second? Okay, Consuelo, second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There you go. Motion passes.
Next on the agenda is an overview of the 2025 Community Resources Unit funding process. And basically the overview is that we are preparing for our next funding process, which is crisis intervention and prevention. As I mentioned earlier, this is probably one of our largest and broadest areas. We fund a number of different initiatives around crisis intervention, prevention, intervention, programming, and services across a broad range of nonprofit organizations currently. The last time we did this RFP was in 2021. For 2022, there was a four-year grant cycle, and so we are now preparing to release another RFP in 2025 for contracts to begin in January of 2026. We are just in the beginning phases of gathering input and feedback from our current service providers that we contract with, as well as other service providers that offer similar services, as well as other funders that support providing funding around these initiatives. It is our intent to continue to collect that data and information, work pretty closely with public health and their violence prevention unit, because a lot of this work kind of collaborates or is interconnected with the work that they are doing. So we want to make sure that we're in alignment, but also identifying the gaps and the barriers as well, and figuring out how we can address those collectively within our funding processes. And so we will at some point be coming back to this committee to share the results of that that work, as well as what we plan to put into the next RFP in terms of the areas in which we are going to prioritize. We don't have a real set timeline at this time, but we're hoping that we will be releasing the RFP sometime in the spring of 2025. So that was pretty much the update.
Fantastic update. Thank you. I think the last thing on the agenda is committee reports for early childhood and Committee on Aging. One of our representatives like to go first.
I can. I'm early childhood.
Fantastic. Go for it, Barbara.
As I said, we did have quite a lengthy discussion at our meeting on the 9th about the proposal to combine committees. And then the other part of that, what early childhood has been doing is asking different agencies and consumers to come in and give us more information about their mission and what they're doing and their successes and their needs. And so the agenda was scheduled to talk about the program that's about 2 years old now, where we have a mental health consultant who's working with the daycares and childcare and preschool programs. And she was able to present. However, unfortunately, because our agenda went so long, the staff members were not, because it then coincided with time when it was going to be pickup and release of children. And that's a busy time in all those worlds. So they were not able to stay, but they did give some written comments that they had. And basically, Amy Altus, the person who's in that position, has done in the year and a half that she's really been out and about over 100 visits, 72 hours of training, 6 state presentation, and much work in the centers. And they're able to work with both the licensed as well as some of the unlicensed centers. So they're feeling very positive about the opportunity to, well, let me back up and say the goal of the program is to allow children to stay in the centers or the programs they're in. Because in the past, when a student was having some behavioral challenges, they were worked with a little bit, but then basically suspended or kicked out of the center, which didn't help anybody. And so they've been able to really have some successes so far in helping those centers be equipped to really deal with and help and resolve the problems rather than just asking the children to leave. So I think it's our group heard some very positive things, which I think is definitely needed. And hopefully we'll be able to continue to move forward in those areas. So that was kind of what our meeting was about.
Thank you. And then our representative for the Committee on Aging, did you have anything to report?
We did not have a meeting today because of quorum.
Thank you. All right, folks, I think that was all on the agenda. I'm trying to get to pull back up again. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Wait, I just have one.
Sorry, I see you.
Just a quick question. I want to make sure, because I did tell some folks that if they are interested in this item number 5, they should join. Yolanda, can you just share, because I'm 46 now, so I'm going to forget where to find it. My apologies. But where do folks find to subscribe to see to your newsletter for updates on RFPs and such?
Sure. It is on our CDD website. And it is on the funding page of the website, kind of at towards the, not the bottom, but maybe in the middle of that page. It has information about our different funding processes across the entire division in terms of when they take place. And then there's an area there where folks can put in their email to sign up on that listserv. But we can also make sure to send that direct link out to the committee so that you can share it with folks too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And motion to adjourn.
Yalder Madison, any second?
Second.
Hooray. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you. Feel better, Michelle and Sabrina.
Thank you.
Thank you. Get well.